Psalm chapter 10, Psalm chapter 10. Psalm chapter 10, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Psalm chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth them into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for an opportunity to preach your word, Lord. God, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. And Lord, I pray, God, if anyone's lost here this morning, that today to be born again. And I pray that you speak to your people's hearts, God, about this awful sin, Lord, that mankind is truly guilty of, saved and lost are. And I help me, Lord, to speak the truth in love. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, to have a proud heart and an arrogant look is sin. In Proverbs chapter 21, it says in verse 4, "A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." Now, many Christians I've seen through the years will testify of what the Lord has delivered them from. Some will get up and say, "The Lord has delivered me from liquor or cigarettes," or whatever the case may be. But I've never yet to see a Christian one time ever stand up in a congregation and say that the Lord has delivered me from the sin of pride. We all know people by their actions that we would say are a prideful people, no doubt. But let us all be careful, because pride lies in the heart of each and every one of us. And pride is in our heart at times without us even recognizing it. Pride causes a lot of damage. A pride is what causes the churches to try to oust the pastor or split the church or things like that happens. Pride destroys businesses. Pride destroys marriages. Every adulterous affair you could ever think of or know about starts because of pride. So how is that? Because the adulterer or the adulteress thinks that they obviously deserve better than what they already have. It's all pride. It destroys nations. That's what's happening to our nation. Our nation doesn't walk humbly with God. It's very proud. We will arise. We will build bigger towers. No, you just need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It causes God to scatter everyone at the Tower of Babel. Pride has a root that stems all the way back to the devil himself. Remember, there was a devil that fell because of pride. And in Isaiah chapter 14, it's all about the devil, that for I have said in thine heart, in verses 13 and 14, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. In the sides of the north, I will ascend above the clouds. I will be like the Most High. To have pride in your heart is to really set yourself up for a fall. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride, I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, is what caused Eve to take of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. In Genesis 3:6, it says, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You know what a proud man is? He's disgusting to God. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5, the Bible says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Now, I've heard Christians say this through the years. I'm proud of this, and I'm proud of that. But as a Christian, we're not to be proud of anything. I know people disagree with me. People get really upset with me. I've seen guys do this. I'm just telling you, that's the Word of God, because God never says anywhere in the Word of God one good thing about pride. I hope you say, well, I'm proud in a good way. What is that? I'm a pornographer in a good way. I'm an adulterer in a good way. Is that a good thing? God doesn't say anything good about pride. We could be pleased with something, and we could be pleased with someone, but we should never say that we're proud of this or proud of that. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? This absolutely sounds nuts. Well, let us think about God. God the Father looked at His Son, and He said this in a low voice from heaven, saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Never said proud. So we'll see in this portion of Scripture this morning, Lord willing, from Psalm chapter 10, about the dangers of pride. And I just want to preach to you a message titled, I'm So Proud of Myself. I'm so proud of myself. All right, let's look at verse 2. A proud man, in verse 2, notice what he does. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Number one, a proud man is cruel to others. He is cruel to others. What proud people do is they're very arrogant. They're very obnoxious. They're very difficult to get along. They are oppressors. They persecute others. Think about this. It was Hitler, and I understand, you know, the repercussions from it, spiritually speaking, but Hitler was driven by the devil, but he was also driven by pride to be so cruel to the Jews and the other races. He wanted a superior race of blonde hair and blue eye people. He looked down upon the Jews, thanks to Darwin, you know, the species of man and all that, and man becoming better and all that, and Karl Marx. All that stuff was satanic and of the devil, and eugenics and everything our government's trying to bring in and all that with the Obama health care. This is all true, okay? You need to get out there and read and observe, and don't just hear it. Find out yourself and check on the website. There's plenty out there. What they do is they treat the Jews as animals, and they treat them worse than animals. So what are you getting at? Don't mess with God's chosen people. And I don't care if we're in the last days and you may have an anti-Semitic bone in you. You better not. You better not mess with God's people. They're still God's chosen people. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. It was pride that caused Lenin and Stalin to enforce communism. They hated capitalism. And what they wanted to do is they wanted the rich to give to the poor what the rich work for. Ever hear of something not too long ago called wealth distribution? That sounds so familiar, huh? Did you know Obama's a communist? You say, well, I didn't know that. Well, I hope you didn't vote for him. It was pride that caused Mao in China to kill over 20 million people who disagreed with the way he ran the government. He couldn't speak out. You know what's an attack on us today? Our First Amendment right, freedom of speech. If you disagree with somebody, you know, they're trying to get that pushed through so that you go to jail. That's communism. The meanest people you'll ever meet are full of pride. A proud person is extremely difficult to get along with. You know somebody who's difficult to get along with? Say, yeah, I'm married to them. Well, I can't help you there, amen? A proud person is the complete opposite of a meek person. A meek person will be gentle and not unnecessarily rough. A meek person will show mercy when a proud person is easily irritated with others. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you find yourself being rough and cruel or harsh with others who are weaker than you? I'm the leader of my home. Nah, you're just a jerk. You're a tyrant. I mean, really, it's amazing to see how many King James, I call them King James cowboys, you know, come in with their straw hat, you know, their attitude, you know, their pistol, their King James Bible on the side, and want to browbeat everybody in their home. You cruel? Number two, let's look at the second thing about a proud person. Is he cruel to others? Let's look at verse 3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. Number two, I believe a man's full of pride is covetous. You say, wait a minute, it doesn't say that. He blesses the covetous. No, 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 you don't understand. It takes one to know one. And what he is he's blessing the covetous because he also himself is covetous. Americans are very materialistic. That's why they're in such debt. There are people that tell me, well, I wish I could tithe. Well, pay off your credit card. I know that's not popular. People got 3-4 credit cards. I mean, listen, don't you have any money left over? No, you got to keep buying and buying and spending and spending because you want to buy things you want that you really don't need. What you're going to do is you're going to buy stuff you don't need. Then you're going to put it in your attic, and you got enough room there. Then you're going to put it in a storage place and pay $50 a month for that. And then you say you can't part from it, but you haven't seen it in 3 years. Then you're going to have a garage sale, so you can sell that junk, so you can get more junk and store more junk. Proud man lives for himself. He's just covetous. The proud man thinks, what's in it for me? Because covetousness and pride go hand in hand. Why? Because the proud man says, I deserve what I desire. Pride whispers to the overspender, you deserve it. Even though you're maxed out on your credit cards, you deserve it. My kids say to me, I want to buy it. I go, good, work for it. See, you make them work at such a young age? Yeah. Yeah. Because I don't want to be raising kids at home that are 35 years old, they're still getting an allowance. Now, if you're 35 living at home, still getting an allowance, I'm sorry, I didn't know about that, amen? But you know some parents that do that? They got their kids living at home forever, and they don't work a day. They never cracked a nail, or they never worked a day in their life. Covetousness is greed. A proud man is greedy and stingy. He doesn't care if others around him have a need. He don't care if others around him have a need because he's proud. And what a proud man does, he hoards all his money to himself. You buy all the gold you want, buy all the silver you want. There's nothing wrong with investing. I'm not saying that. But I'll tell you right now, being proud about your riches will hurt you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 13, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says in verse 17 and 18, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. You know, I've met quite a few rich people. I don't really find them very humble, do you? I mean, I've met some rich people. I mean, people where their gates are over 15 feet high, and their driveway is about 200 yards long, and there's a fountain in the center. I mean, knocking on a door like that. I mean, literally in South Africa, they didn't feel the need of God. Proud man will forget that he cannot take his riches with him. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7 says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Just remember that pride and riches go hand in hand. A proud man who is rich or covetous does not think he needs God. When's the last time I heard Bill Gates get up and say, I want to give the glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ for all the riches I have? How about Warren Buffett? How about Ted Turner? No, we just want to we just want to get rid of the population, decreasing its size. We need to take care of Mother Nature. Well, I'll tell you what, Ted Turner, let's start with you first. It's truly hard for the rich to be humble. But don't forget also that there are some people that are covetous, that are poor. Poor and proud. Number three, let's look at verses 4-5. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. Number three, a man's full of pride does not care what God thinks. He does not care what God thinks. He does not care what God thinks about his lifestyle. I am so tired of homosexuals. They need to go back in the closet. What happened is the Christians left the prayer closet and they came out of the closet. I don't want their agenda forced on me. I want to have freedom of speech to say that what they're doing is an abomination in the sight of God. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So you got to keep taking a stand. But there are people out there that want to constantly, here's what they do. We believe in our rights as gays, right? Okay, then why can't we have the freedom to say that we disagree with you? Why is it they had to persecute us? Why is it they give us a hard time and threaten us with a lawsuit? Why is it that a Christian couple in New Mexico who has their own photography business gets sued by a gay couple because they refuse to take photos of them who are gay? Or sodomites, I should say. Not gay, they're not happy, they're sodomites. So they got charged $6,000 fine. You know what God thinks about the lifestyle? It's disgusting. There was a preacher he's a Baptist preacher down in South Carolina. He said, I think we need to all get them together. He said, we all need to fence them off and feed them. Don't abuse them, feed them, and let them die off. So that's a horrible thing. They don't reproduce, they recruit. And when you got that whole gay and lesbian thing in NAMBLA or whatever, trying to recruit 7, 8-year-old boys and saying that's normal, that's wrong. at lowering the age, that's sick. So I can't believe you're saying that, because you know what happened? We're in a generation right now where Christians have a gay uncle, a sodomite uncle, or a lesbian aunt, and they go, well, I love them the way they are. Listen, God doesn't love them the way they are. God hates their sin and hates their lifestyle. So I don't believe that. God hates all workers of iniquity. God hates, that's Psalm 7, Psalm chapter 5, Psalm chapter 11. He hated those that love violence. So you got Christians right now that literally, I had a pastor tell me, would you believe a lady in my church got up and left? So why? Because one of her relatives was a sodomite and she got upset because he said something about it? So what she did was she sided with her sodomite uncle over the word of God. So people got a lifestyle I don't care for. And what happens is a proud man goes, God's not in all his thoughts because he's rejected the light God has given him. Nobody is born a sodomite. They choose that. They become vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart is darkened. Why? Because they're unthankful. They rejected the light God's given them because God's given light to every man that cometh into the world, John chapter 1. Men reject the light. And God's given every man at birth enough light to know him. But a proud man sees the light and he hates it. That's why somebody can come into this church. It doesn't matter if I yell or I talk subdued. They'll come in, they'll hear the truth, and it doesn't matter if it's pastor or whoever's preaching, they'll come in and they'll go, I was at a church for years, I've never heard anything like that. You know why? Because you're in a church that's full of darkness. You're in a church where there's no light because they ain't got the right Bible that gives the right light. You can have a one watt or you can have a 15,000 watt light, amen? Big difference. See, what are you getting at? A proud man simply does not care what God says. You try to show them from the Bible where they're wrong. Oh, I just disagree. That's not the way my grandmother believed and my mama and all that. And that's not the way I was raised. It doesn't matter what you believe. It's a matter what saith the scriptures. The word, I ask people, are you a Bible believer? Yes, I'm absolutely a Bible believer. Then you're going to agree with me with the Bible. Oh, if it's in there, I believe it. Then you show them, well, I don't know about that. I think that's just your interpretation. Well, it's right there. And I want to argue with you. And they get red in the face. And they're yelling at you, asking you why you don't have any love. Don't you understand? I just showed you. Why are you yelling at me? You said I didn't have any love. You're yelling at me. You can show a proud person from the Bible where they're wrong and they'll argue. Why? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 tells us, only by pride cometh contention. That's why they argue. God's judgments are far above out of his sight. And you can show a proud person the word of God. And I watch people. I show them and they'll go. I've had them do this when I show them. They push it away. I had a guy one time tell me, he goes, as long as I don't know what's in there, he goes, I'm okay. So he said, I said, ignorance is not bliss when it comes to eternity. I said, whether you want to accept it or not, God's word is still true. Would you agree with me? I've had people try to show me supposed discrepancies in the Bible. Well, here it says 700 chariots and 7. So what? What's the big deal? Read it. They don't believe what the book says. A proud man doesn't care what the book says. Number four, let's look at verse 6. Notice again, the proud man. It's all about the proud man. Verse 6, he hath said in his heart, watch this, I shall not be moved. Now, that's a different way of singing a song, amen? I shall not be moved. That's a good song. But the proud man sings in his own way. I shall not be moved. I'm not going to be moved. You know what he's not going to do? Number four, he's not going to change for anyone. He's not going to change for anyone. A proud man will not change for anyone. He'll not be moved. You cannot reason with a proud man. You know why? A proud person thinks there's no room for improvement. They think that they've already arrived. They've already attained. Ever been around someone like that? That thinks that there's no need to change? Pride whispers to the blamer, it's the pastor's fault. It's the deacon's fault for why you act like you do. It's your ex-wife's fault, your ex-husband's fault. It's your parents' fault. Pride says, it's not me, it's them. It's them. It's everyone else around me. Pride is truly a great deceiver. You show somebody where they're wrong and they go, well, you don't understand. No, I do understand. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Galatians 6:3. Sometimes a proud man will not be moved by calamity. I watched people through the years in the Christian life. I've seen them. God just beats on them and beats on them and beats on them. Instead of running to God, they go, I will get stronger. I will get tough. I got through that one. You don't get it, do you? Pride, sometimes a proud man will not be moved in a church. He won't be moved during a special singing. Now, look, I'm not for shouting and running around. If you want to do that, praise the Lord. I don't care. I mean, churches were quiet. That don't bother me. Churches are loud. Don't bother me. I don't care one bit because we're independent, right? So you go to some churches and they got special singing, and some of the special singing I think is horrible. Some of it's good or whatever the case may be. And you get in these church services, you know what? God's in them. But people won't move. They won't respond. They don't care. Listen, it takes me a lot to cry in a church service. A lot to cry. But I don't want to get to a point where if God speaks to my heart through singing, that I can't be moved. How about you? I don't want to get to a point in my Christian life, I as a preacher can't be moved during the preaching. There's a time where some of you say, well, I'm just a quiet person. That's okay. But there was a time when you heard the preaching that Pastor Hoffman was preaching or teaching or something, and God got a grip of your heart. And you know what you did? You start crying. I have. I've heard preaching. I'm like, man, God, I mean, man, I'm not right. Or God, thank you. Or encouraging. But there are people that will not be moved during the preaching. There are people who won't be moved at the invitation. Now, look, I'll be honest with you. I'm not long on invitations. I started a church in a Dutch Reformed community. Anybody understand that? 5,500 people, 3,500 of them went to three sister churches. They call them sister churches. So out of 5,500, 3,500 went to three sister churches. Left me with 2,000. Out of the 2,000, 1,000 were charismatic, and only 1,000 left. So I had to be honest with you. When I got there, I thought, oh, I'm going to do invitation. I don't work there too well. It took 6 months for people to come forward and get saved in the church. 6 months. So I'm not against giving invitations, but if God spoke to you, you ought to be able to come. That's why some people can come to the church and they never change. I remember in South Africa, I used to pull my hair out. I used to get frustrated. I'm like, why? I don't understand. Why is it they're changing and they're not changing? Then I understand there's nothing wrong with the seed. It's the ground. One person's responding, one person's not. So now, it produces a lot less frustration in my life. Because it's the results, it's up to you. Not me. You with me? There are some people that will come to church and they'll listen to ungodly music. Some of you know what godly music is and some of you know what's wrong. So how do I know what ungodly music is? It's when you change it when you come to the church parking lot. If you got to change it, then it ain't right. A pastor one time told me that after I preached, a man that was his church member got really irate with what I said about ungodly music. He said, I've been listening to worldly music that this evangelist mentioned was wrong for over 40 years and has not affected me. Isn't that funny? So then I guess he's probably about 60-some years old. See, what are you getting at? He said it hasn't affected him, but why did he get upset about it? I'm just an evangelist. I don't know anything. I'm just preaching the word of God, right? He didn't like it. So Christians will continue to watch ungodly movies. Some of you got movies in your home you don't have to watch. Say you're a legalist. No, I don't believe there's anything glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ when you watch movies with his name in vain. I don't believe there's anything glorifying about immoral scenes. As a matter of fact, I don't think a lot of Christians pray before they get cable television in their home. I had an assistant pastor tell me a while ago, he says, I wish I would never got cable. I says, then get rid of it. He says, if I do, my wife will throw a fit. Well, thank God I ain't married to her, amen. Say, what are you getting at? There's some movies you don't have to have in your home. I didn't say all movies are wrong. And I'm not a Pharisee for saying that. But how can you with a clear conscience watch something where you hear cursing? You say, I would never want my kids to see the inside of a strip joint, but yet you let them watch it on cable. Oh, I never want my kids to know what speedballing is, but you let them watch someone shooting up heroin. Did you pray about it? I want you to think about this. When you go home, when you look at the movie collection you got, I want you to say, God, I want you to bless this movie because it takes your name in vain and it glorifies rape scenes and it's really good, Lord, and I just want you to bless this. Proud man hears this. You know what he goes? Move on, preacher. So I'll move on. You know what? Some Christians will come year after year into church in immodest clothing. Now, I'm not going to get all into that, but I'll just say this. There's some things you ought not to be wearing in the church. Amen? I'll tell you, I come to some church and I think I'm inside of a nightclub. Your underwear is meant for your underwear. Hip huggers and all that other stuff ain't right. A modest lady would dress modest. Still with me? Still love me? You know why a person will never change? Because that would require humility. I don't want to change. I've come to be entertained. I've come to hear it about. Look, I can come at all, I can hear all the time. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. You know what our problem with our King James Bible even crowd is? We know too much. Oh, preacher, I can write. You're preaching out of the Old Testament. That's before the law. That's before the cross and all. But so what? Can I still preach it? Isn't all scripture given by inspiration of God? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's funny how we like to pick and choose things that suit our fancy. I repeat, a proud person sees no need to change. Look at verse 7 real quickly. A proud man, you know what he is? Look at verse 7. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Number 5, a man is full of pride will not be concerned about his speech. Will not be concerned about his speech. You know some of the biggest liars you'll ever meet? You know where you'll meet them at? Not the car lot. Church. Big, big liars. Spreading gossip, spreading manure, you know what I mean? And all do it in the name of prayer request. Pray for so-and-so, they're having marital trouble, and all I heard, something happened. Oh, what did you hear? This is what I heard. I don't know if it's true, but I heard this from so-and-so that said so-and-so, that so-and-so said it, and I found it out all on Facebook. I ain't got a Facebook account. I don't want a Facebook account. You got one, have at it. I believe get your face in this book. Amen? Now, I'm not saying if you got one, you're not right with God. Don't take what I said and misconstrue it. All right? Oh, he said you're not right with God. He said you're lost. So you put it on Facebook. Brother O'Grady said people are lost. They got Facebook. And you're the proud person I was preaching about. Amen? I didn't say it's wrong. If you got it, it's where you, I don't care, but you better be careful what you say on there. You know, I had an account for 3 months, but I got tired of finding out that so-and-so had bad breath, and he used this toothpaste and it helped it. And I was like, you know what, these people are a bunch of losers, and they got to say what deodorant they use because it doesn't get a ring around the armpit. You know, I don't care for that. But anyway, they're not concerned for their speech. They're not concerned for their speech. And a proud person, what he does is he speaks mischief. And it never ceases to amaze me how many people have a filthy mouth. Filthy mouth. People curse at their children. Children curse at their parents. People curse at people in front of women at a restaurant. What is even a real shock is to hear some of the women out curse the men. I mean, it's amazing when you see a woman. It's so disgusting. When a woman smokes, first of all, it's like her mouth's an ashtray. And who would want to kiss a mouth that's an ashtray? And then she's got this cigarette in her mouth, and then she's cursing like a guy. It's disgusting. Yeah, tattoos, body piercings, you know what I mean? Hey, I'll tell you right now, people curse at a sports game. People curse in a sports locker room. They curse at the gym. You go to a gym, they curse there. Or they got the music playing, it's cursing. They curse on the radio. They curse on the TV. They curse at the grocery store. They curse at you when you street preach. That's a nice one. You know, the wave they give you, you know what I mean? Something wrong with their finger? You know, kids ask. Well, I can't tell you right now. You know? You try to give them a gospel tract, they curse with God's name in it and say they're a believer. Well, that's really interesting. The proud man has a foul mouth. The proud man sees nothing wrong with cursing. He speaks vanity. He's a loud mouth. He's obnoxious to everyone he speaks. He likes to talk so loud that when people are around him, he speaks so loud and yells at them like everyone needs a hearing aid. Everyone around someone like that? Yeah! What do you think, man? And I'm not against people that are loud, but it's, you know, it's about loud and obnoxious. Yeah, you know what I was doing? He looks around to see if everybody else is listening. Ha ha ha. You know that kind of guy? He's the type who only talks highly of himself. Why? Because he knows of no other one to flatter but himself. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Moi. That's why that thing in Fireproof, I don't know if you've seen it or not, it's hilarious. That guy, yeah, yeah. You and me time, baby, right? It's hilarious. That's how people are. They get in that thing, they think they're all that in a bag of chips. He hates to hear others praised. Have you ever heard someone go on and on about themselves? I mean, you tell a story, they can top it. I remember when I was in the Airborne Rangers, man, I jumped out, parachute got locked and all that, and I was flying through the air, and I helped someone else and flew. It's like you're a liar. They could always outdo your story. You know, you were in a fight one time with three guys, you were in a fight with 30 guys, knocked them all out. You know, that things. A young woman one time went to her pastor and said, "Pastor, I have a besetting sin." She said, "I want your help." She said, "I come to church on Sunday and can't help thinking I'm the prettiest girl in the congregation." She said, I know I ought not to think that, but I can't help it. I want you to help me with it, Pastor." And the pastor replied, "Mary, don't worry about it. In your case, it's not a sin, it's a horrible mistake." Yeah. The way a proud person talks about themselves, you would think the world would stop revolving if they died. A man said one time, "If you ever start to feel proud, just remember that soon after your body has been lowered into the grave, your family and friends will be eating potato salad and telling jokes, and you'll be history." "Not my family, they'll grieve." Yeah, for a little bit. A proud person, what he'll do is he'll slander others to exalt himself. Do you find yourself slandering and gossiping about others? You know what's the biggest problem in church? I don't care how big it is or how small it is, the tongue. Tongue can no man tame, it's unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And I know James is for the tribulation, but that's not throughout chapter 3. You ever say nice things about the pastor? "You know, Pastor Hoffman, you know." What about him? I don't have many friends, in case you don't understand. I mean, I'll just tell you right now, I don't put up with that stuff. People come up to me and say, "Well, my pastor says this." I'm like, "Really?" And I'll go and tell the pastor. Say why? Because I'm not a member, and I want to warn him of a wolf in the flock. Now, nobody's going to talk to me after service, right? "Where's David?" Amen. "Brother, don't cry." He's like, "No, I'm not like that, but if you got something nice to say, I'll listen." But there are people that have slandered a pastor and his wife and his kids and so forth, and they'll never say anything nice about other church members. You know, I really like, as soon as you hear this, watch. "Yeah, I like them." But as soon as you hear that, you get their butts out of here, right? This butt, gone, finished, done. But this butt, I already know where they're going to go. Do you just run your mouth? Maybe your tongue's flapping a lot because you have a lot of pride in your heart. You know, go into a new church as an evangelist. You come in, "Hey, how's it going?" "Hey, preacher, I see you got a new red carpet." "No, that's just Sister So-and-so's tongue." "Oh, preacher, I'm going to lay my tongue on the altar." "I don't know if it's that big." Proud man runs his mouth and he runs others into the ground. That's what he does. Number 6, and I'm done. Verses 11 through 13. I won't have you have time for the buffet. All right. Verse 11 through 13. Amen. Don't want to get in the way of a Baptist and their food. All right. Verse 11 through 13. I notice what it says in verse 11 and 13. "He hath said in his heart, the proud man, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. Verse 13, wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, that will not require it." Number 6, a man is full of pride, he contemns God's judgment. He contemns God's judgment. What does contemn mean? It means to slight, to neglect, as unworthy of regard, is to reject with disdain. The proud man, what he does is he really slights God. The lost man is so proud he lives as if God does not exist. And some proud men, I talk to them, "Well, how do you know hell is real? Have you been there?" And I say, "Well, here's the deal. If it's not real, okay, I have nothing to lose. But if it is real, you got a lot to lose." Some proud men believe and promote the idea of evolutionism. What a crock to believe in evolutionism. Really? I mean, are you that dumb to believe that? When I was growing up, it was called a hypothesis. That means an educated guess, which was still an idiotic guess to me in science. They can't prove. Theory means proven. They have never proven it. Proud man lives as if God does not see what he's doing. "I can get the room dark enough. Hey, if I'm looking at internet pornography, my wife doesn't know or my fiance doesn't know. Nobody knows. God knows." You can't get the room dark enough because the eyes of the Lord are every place beholding the evil and the good. God sees whether you're fornicating as premarital sex in the eyes of God, and God says he will judge whoremongers and adulterers. I don't like that preaching. Well, it's okay. If you never come back, you've heard it once, at least the truth. I'm telling you right now, God sees what you're doing. And you think God's going to get it. Oh, here. God's a loving God. And God's going to let me continue in my rebellion. Well, he didn't let the rebellion continue. He had a Noah's flood. He said, that's enough. You know what God's going to do? He's not going to drown out the earth. He's going to fireball it. He's going to burn the earth this time. The proud man is truly deceived. Pride is what causes the man to not fear God. Pride is what causes the man to not fear the judgment. Well, that's just your opinion. You see these little bumper stickers, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Who? The wicked? The lost? The proud man is spiritually blind to the judgment that's awaiting him. Well, when I get to heaven, have you ever heard somebody say this? When I get to heaven, me and God are going to have a talk about it. No, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What does that say? You're going to bow the knee as you're bound hand and foot and cast into the lake of fire. It's the word of God says. Well, me and God are going to have it out. You're going to have it out with God at all. You can read the book of Job later on if you want. It looks like Job, G-O-B. You can read it later and find out when God asked him about 4, 5, 6 dozen questions, Job had no answer. You know what Job said after a while? I am nothing. I repent, sackcloth and ashes. I abhor myself. I hate myself. Lord, I don't have all the answers. See, I thought I knew it all. So God asked him a question. I like the scriptures. I really do. I mean, I love them. And when you read the Gospels, they would ask him a question to Jesus. And they go, oh, we're going to get him. We're going to stop him. And Jesus would go, hey, tell me. What say the scriptures about this? And they would just look at him and answer him not a question. Ask him not a question anymore. Well, I didn't have all the answers. Just like you're not going to have answers to the judgment. Well, I'm going to have it out with God. No, you're not. No, you're not. Some proud men don't think they're bad enough to go to hell. When I stand up there, me and God are going to be, you know, he's going to understand because, you know, he's going to outweigh my good works with my bad works. Do you have a scripture on that? A proud man will not bow the knee and trust Christ as a Savior. Why? Because the bottom line is this: why? He doesn't want anyone to tell him how to live. I'm my own boss. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I know that a proud person can eventually get saved, but most do not. Say, what do you mean? God will eventually destroy the house of the proud. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. God will destroy you. How? Motorcycle accident? Sudden heart attack? House burning? Say, God doesn't do that. Sure does. Absolutely. No one has been saved by demanding God to let them into heaven. Who do you think you are to sit there and say, hey, God, you owe me. God, you let me in. Yeah, I know your son died, but that was for those people. I can surely get in. Do you really think you're that spiritual? Do you really think you're that good enough to get into heaven? Listen, God rejects the proud. God rebukes the proud. God resists the proud. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, James 4:6, but giveth grace unto the humble. What's required of you for salvation? Humility. But the good news is that God will receive the humble. Humility is necessary for salvation. The question is, will you acknowledge that you're a sinner? Will you acknowledge that you deserve to go to hell? Listen, you can't be saved unless you realize you deserve to go to hell. You can get anybody to pray, repeat after me. Romans Road, you can do that. That's easy to do. Hey, I don't preach easy believism, amen? You use the law, which our schoolmaster, to bring people to Christ, amen? You know you're a sinner? Yeah, sure you do. Okay, let's pray. And then you ask them, did you believe you deserve to go to hell? Oh, of course not. That's not salvation. You know why I got saved? I'll tell you why I got saved. I was going to go to hell. Then I realized I was going to go to hell, and I realized I was a sinner. Do you realize you're a sinner? Do you realize you're going to hell? Will you believe the gospel? You say, what's the gospel? Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the dead according to the scriptures on the third day. Will you humble yourself and call upon the Lord to be saved? You know what I'm really tired of? Well, you know what? If you want to get saved, you don't have to embarrass yourself. We could do it in a corner, and you could do it secretly, and you can leave secretly and never come back. The Bible says, if you confess him before men, he'll also confess you before his Father, which is in heaven. The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Confess him. I'm going to ask you this morning, will you remain proud or will you humble yourself? Would you stand? Would you stand? This is the invitation. Would you stand? No one looking around. Would you just bow your head, please? I appreciate you coming this morning. I really do. I just want you to stand and bow your head. No one looking around. Don't worry about what the time is and who texts you and who's just coming to the altar and who should be here. I'm just going to ask you this morning real quickly. A proud man's cruel to others. He's cruel to others. Let me ask you, have you been pretty cruel lately? Arrogant, harsh, mean, a jerk, rough with people? That's pride. Well, you're going to get in my... You need to calm down. Really, calm down. A proud man, a man is full of pride, is covetous. You want. I can't wait to buy this, and I can't wait to buy that. And I want to get this, and I want to get that. And you work for what? Materialistic stuff you're never at home to enjoy. Look at all the nice stuff I have. I can never enjoy it, though. People tell me I got a boat I can't use, and I'm always working. It's like, what do you got all this stuff for, to work? A man is full of pride does not care what God thinks. Some of you got upset about what I said. I'm going to ask you, do you care what God thinks? That's the question. Well, I don't like what you said. It doesn't matter whether you liked what I said or not. What say it to Scripture? Do you believe the King James Bible is the final authority? Do you believe it? Do you really believe the Bible is true? How many of you believe that? All right, let me ask you a question. You care what God thinks? Then a man who's full of pride will not change. Say, I care, then change. Change. A man's full of pride will not be concerned about his speech. Some of you got a foul mouth. Well, when I lose my temper, no, you got a foul mouth. Your mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You know what bitterness is? You're talking mean about others. I don't like them. They did me wrong. I hate them. I wish they were dead. I hope they're gonna. You know, when you think like that, you're full of pride. Pride. Last of all, I want to say this, and I'm done. I promise. A man's full of pride contemns God's judgment. He contemns God's judgment. He rejects it. Let me ask you a question. No one looking around. Just real quickly, I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody here this morning that would say, preacher, that's me. I'm proud. And preacher, I'm not saved. Because I've been trusting in baptism or trusting in my good works or trusting in my commandments or trusting in a prayer that I prayed or trusting in my church membership or trusting in my church giving or trusting in the fact that, you know, I'm a good person. Let me ask you, would you be honest? Would you just be honest enough to say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. I've never humbled myself enough to realize I was deserving of hell. I never realized I deserved to go to hell. I never saw that I was that bad of a sinner. Would you raise your hand? I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to grab you by the arm. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? I see your hand. Thank you. All right. I praise the Lord. Now, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to drag you down here. I'm not going to browbeat you. This is what I want to do. I want to ask you something. It takes a lot of humility to make it public. You say, preacher, in front of everybody? Well, I don't see where you can go wrong. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you this. As your pastor comes, if God has spoke to you, as your pastor comes, if God has spoke to you, those of you who raise your hand, and you want to be born again, and you're a lady, what you can do is, if you want to get saved now, okay, we're not going to drag you and browbeat you and make you, no man can come to the Father except the Father draw him. And I'm not a Calvinist for saying, okay, you got to have conviction of the Holy Ghost. This is what you need to realize. Number one, you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you got to realize that God gave his Son so you would not have to perish and go to hell. Repent. It means a change of heart, change of mind towards God. Say, God, I'm tired of my life. I'm tired of who I am. I'm tired of sinning against you. And understand you're on your way to hell. And then be willing to call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're a man, and I'm serious, it doesn't matter if someone's in your way, listen, it ain't worth going to hell. Say, I don't want nobody to see hell. Listen, humble yourself, swallow your pride, and say, look, I want to be saved. And the people around you, they're not going to get in your way. They'll come. Now, if you're a man, I'm asking you right now, would you come? If God has spoke to you and you feel that you need to be born again, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have eternal life, and a home in heaven, and have your sins forgiven, and be a child of God, I think that's a pretty good deal. Would you come now if God has spoken? I'm not going to drag it on. Just give me about 30 more seconds and I'm done. If you're a man, would you come forward? The pastor can meet you at the front. We can show you from the Bible how to be saved. And if you're a lady, I'm asking you right now, listen to me. You're going to have family that's going to go to heaven. and you're not going to be there. You know what? Swallow your pride. I had a time real quickly, a lady one time, I preached on a Saturday night, and I said, sure, this lady will never come back again. Sunday morning she came, she sat in the way back. She moved up halfway through the sermon in the third pew. She ran to the altar to get saved. She came every night of the revival, brought two more of her lost friends. They got saved that week. It was on. See, what are you getting at? A lady came forward. We need some men that are willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ. They'll stand up for their football team. They'll stand up for their favorite hockey team or whatever it may be. But they'll stand up for themselves, but they won't stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, I'm done. If you would like to come and you're a lady, you can come to the altar. My wife would be willing to meet you, or the pastor's wife would be willing to meet you. But if you want to do it after church, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Would you seek me or Pastor Hoffman or his wife? My wife's in the back with a gray sweater on over, and the pastor's wife with a brown shirt in the back. We don't want you to go to hell. Amen. We're not going to twist your arm. But listen, you acknowledge you are lost. That means you know you're going to hell. We're begging you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please don't go to hell. Be ye reconciled to God. Be made right with the Lord. Amen.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for the words that are expressed. Lord, we know that that Bible says is so true. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination. And the first one you say is a proud look. I mean, pride disgusts you so much that you don't even like the look of it. And Lord, I do pray you just help us to be people who are honest, sincere, and take the truth from any source that we can get it. And that we'd be Bible believers, where we would change to believe the Bible, change our beliefs to match the Bible rather than changing the Bible to make it say what we want. Help us to honor your words. And Lord, I do pray you just help us to consider the words and then go to thee for confirmation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're dismissed with that.